You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 17th of February 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rushjournal.org. Matt, good day, sir, and good luck with your wedding at the weekend. I'm sure you must be very excited and very busy, so I'm very pleased that you've still been able to come on the show today. How are you doing anyway?
Well, my life is both exhilarating and exhausting, but I tell you one thing. Next week when I go on my honeymoon, I am not going to think for 2 seconds about truckers or Ukraine or anything political. For the first time in 30-something years, I'm just shutting my brain off on all that stuff. Well, we'll see if I can do it, but that's absolutely what I'm going to do.
Well, it's going to be nice for you to take a couple of weeks off. I think that's the longest I've ever known you actually take some time off. So make sure, yeah, don't think about any of your work. I'm sure you'll just enjoy spending the time with your lovely new wife. But we do have a show to produce for today, and we wanted to make it a little bit more conversational than usual. And we thought we'd talk about the Ottawa truck convoy, which has been going on for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I think it is. It seems to be hotting up a little bit now with Justin Trudeau invoking the Emergency Powers Act. Quite what is going to happen, I don't know. Apparently, just as we were going to air, lots of police had arrived, but I don't know how they're going to actually move these trucks out of the way. I don't know why he's had to bring in the Emergency Powers Act. I mean, you could say that they were blocking trade routes, and that is something quite serious, but apparently they voluntarily moved the trucks out of the way of the trade routes, and they picked up again the routes that actually went across from America into Canada. But the most bizarre thing about all of this is that over here in Britain, it seems that all these COVID regulations have now all finished. And in England, you don't have to wear masks anymore. They're not really pushing the jabs. You don't have to quarantine and stay at home if you catch COVID. And yet over there in Canada, Trudeau is still massively pushing this. And I believe he bought millions or billions of Pfizer doses as well that he wants to get into everybody's arms. So it's good to see that the truckers are protesting this. It's bad to see that the way that Justin Trudeau has reacted to it. But I do think it was predictable that he would do something like that, bring in the Emergency Powers Act. But what is your view on all of this, Matt?
Well, you know, here you have an example of, you know, blue collar working class people. And, you know, it's not just truckers. And of course, the left is condemning it. Now, that's not exactly what they meant by the workers uniting. This is something that as you've heard, Amnesty International has condemned it. Trudeau, at this point, his rhetoric is so beyond sanity. It's not surprising, but he's handling this in such an immature way. He's being condemned by members of his own party. He was condemned by Newsweek, of all places. And there is one interesting fact, and it doesn't shock me either. But there's a video out there from Major Stephen Todowski, 20 years in the Canadian Army, saying that there's dissent in both military and police ranks about enforcing this, about going after truckers, going after working class people that are, you know, not in any way violent, doing anything wrong. They're doing everything right. And that's going to be interesting. And I don't know if Trudeau even has the ability at this point to think rationally, because, yeah, he is going bonkers with this stuff. Now he is in his, most of his cabinet comes out of BlackRock, Davos Forum. And he just doesn't, you know, he's acting like a child. When he slinked away, pretending he had COVID after getting, you know, 40 shots, whatever he allegedly got, refusing to have any discussions with anybody on this, and then making up one bizarre accusation after another. And on top of all that, claiming that the Black Lives Matter riots were acceptable and legitimate. But this is not, it's typical, but in such blatant black and white terms, and having it accepted by at least a small percentage of the Canadian population. This is unbelievable. So it's childish, and it shows that he is not in a position of strength here. He's in a position of weakness.
Well, it's very hypocritical as well, because apparently there was a similar protest that took place in India with all the farmers with their tractors, and he was really supportive of that and talking about how that was great to see democracy in action, as all the farmers brought their tractors into New Delhi to protest against the new law. And yet when something similar happens in Canada, oh no, these are all neo-Nazis and terrorists. And it really was quite predictable what happened. They found two photographs, didn't they? They were able to get two photographs, and I believe the guy taking the photographs was Trudeau's personal photographer. And he managed to get a photograph of somebody waving a swastika and somebody else waving a Confederate flag. And then on the basis of that, they decided to say that all the people there were neo-Nazis and white supremacists. And then this Jagmeet Singh, the Sikh MP that they have over there, he did a little video saying how everybody there was racist, and the excuse that they have now for bringing in this martial law or Emergency Powers Act is that they're frightened that there might be a terrorism that goes off there. There might be a murder. Oh, and they also found at the border, they discovered a plot to murder police. I mean, it all sounds very, very suspicious to me. When you actually look at what's going on there, they've got bouncy castles. They got kids playing around or bouncy castles. They've got pizza ovens, proper pizza ovens that they've set up there. It looks very much like a festival, fair sort of atmosphere. When you think about it, the idea of protesting in trucks, I mean, how are the police going to move those trucks out of the way? That's going to be very difficult to do. And when you've got a truck and you've got lots of fuel, I mean, you can live in it. They're basically houses that are parked there, and they've been very peaceful all the way along. They've been smeared, and now he's calling in the police. And really, all he has to do is go and speak to them. I think that's all their demands were, that Trudeau speak to them. They don't want this vaccine mandate for the truckers. And apparently he was going to do the same with the police. And the police said, well, we don't want this mandate. And apparently the police were told, well, OK, you don't have to have it. You don't have to be vaxxed. So why won't he go out there and actually speak to these truckers? Why is it he wants to bring in the army and the police and treat them as if they're terrorists, when they've said, we're just here to uphold the Canadian principles and the Constitution? And I believe the majority of the truckers have actually had the vaccination, but they just do not approve of being told that everybody has to have this medical procedure. It comes down to consent and whether people want to have that or not. So they're being portrayed as neo-Nazis. I think there's this false flag at the border there, or some kind of special forces operations, secret service operation, where they're claiming that they were trying to murder police. Because what would murdering the police have to do with a protest against people being forced to be vaccinated? I mean, it has nothing to do with it, does it? I mean, why would people want to be getting together to murder the police anyway? It's just sensational. So these are some of the other things I've picked up on, Matt. Have you heard of any of those? Got any thoughts on those?
Yeah, I have. Again, this is something we could have predicted when this first started. There's a few more pictures, you know, without any provenance. We don't know where they're from, of politically incorrect thinking. If you remember, in Charlottesville, there was one guy with the red and black swastika flag. No one knew who this guy was. He came alone. He left alone. He didn't say a word to anybody, even though that kind of imagery was absolutely forbidden at Charlottesville. And this is something, of course, he was working for the our enemies. And it's no different here. So not only does, you know, killing police, these typical slogans, and what the heck does the left care about killing police anyway? They were advocating it just a year and a half ago. And what in heaven's name does a Confederate flag have to do with Canada? That's not even relevant to the Canadian experience. And don't forget, too, that these truckers have gotten the vaccination because their jobs were threatened. Today, you can't board a plane. You can't cross the border without it. And Trudeau himself has said, you know, you're not going to be able to function socially without this vaccination. And, you know, there will be camps. There will be all kinds of exclusions beyond anything that has been seen before. And now that Trudeau's popularity, I think, is either between is between 13 and 16%. If he does anything against these truckers, that's going to go down to negative numbers. He's going to be like Boris Yeltsin in the mid-90s. And so at the same time, he's claiming to speak for all Canadians. And I just read the article where the counter protests came up with 30 people, not even 30 people. Was with signs that are, you know, saying just what Trudeau said, and they weren't there long, and I'm surprised, you know, a couple of them weren't shot, and then they blamed the truckers for some reason on that. You know, trucks are critical, absolutely critical and essential for the economy to function. That's why that particular, and they know this, and it's you know, it's great not only because they're working class, because it's a critical sector. But it's becoming a soundboard for all of the complaints about not just the mandate, but the vaccine and the whole COVID story. As of a few days ago, I mean, probably a week ago, we're up to 40,000 deaths just in Europe. And those are just reported deaths directly connected with the so-called vaccine and the injuries, about 3.5 million. And again, those just in Europe, and that's just those that are reported on their system. And so, you know, it's much, much higher than that. If this were any other vaccine, it would have been pulled from the market, you know, as soon as it went over a few thousand, not even that. It's the reason that the cops have been exempt is because of the damage it's doing. Just, you know, since this was put into motion, the sickness among American soldiers who are subject to the mandate has been, I mean, hypertension has gone up almost 3,000%. Cancers, the exact number, 794%. The pulmonary embolism, 400% increase. Migraines, 350% increase. All since this mandate was put into place. Clearly, there's a connection. And I have the feeling that might be the reason why the police have been exempted from this. For all my talk about how, you know, the military is falling apart, I forgot to mention all that. And these are American soldiers. And by the way, I just realized that Canada had a military. I didn't realize that was the case. I figured they had a couple guys, but they do have a military. And these guys are questioning this whole thing. They're not shooting truckers. They're not getting tear gas truckers. Almost everyone in the country knows that they're right. And the refusal to speak to them and attacking them is just shows the level of immaturity. This government can – it's a minority government to begin with. This whole system can fall to pieces because of it. And hopefully that might be the case.
Well, I do hope you're right, Matt, and there is support for them. I mean, I had a look at some of the polls, and there was one, I think it was 50% were saying that people that were unvaxxed should be made unemployed. And then there was another 30% of people that were saying that people that were unvaxxed should be fined as well for being unvaxxed. I mean, we do see these large protests, but does everybody really support them? I mean, we see a lot of support in the alternative sphere and on Twitter and elsewhere, but we tend to see that in sort of echo chambers. So I'm hoping that there really is that support for them. With the GoFundMe account that they had, I believe that got up to something like $11 million. In donations, which was supposed to provide them with fuel and food so that they could stay there, effectively laying siege to the parliament until Trudeau came out and spoke to them. And that was seized. And the company that owns it said that they were going to decide where all that money went. I mean, that was absolutely disgusting. As if people had just donated that money to GoFundMe to decide where they wanted to put it. That money was supposed to go to the truckers. And then they said, well, we'll give it back to you, but you have to ask first. And that was, again, because they wanted to avoid paying money. And it wasn't until some American senators, I believe, said, well, we're going to take you to court if you do this. And they were asking for people to tell them if they were aware of GoFundMe engaging in any fraudulent practice. So I believe that's changed. And then there was another site that was set up to actually get money for them. And somebody hacked that website yesterday, and they put all the details of the people that were donating money to the truckers online. And there's been death threats, and one of these family-owned restaurants, I think in Ottawa, has had to close down out of fear of what might happen to them. And there's this crazed left-wing guy has just hacked into the website and given all this information out there. So I would hope that there really is the amount of support for them that you suggest that there are, Matt. I was going to say, because these polls, they tend to say that maybe they've got 20% support, 30% support, but the rest of the people seem to be supporting the government. But then, of course, you don't know who the sort of people were that were actually polled. Did you hear about what happened with the funding for it?
I did, and that was just on GoFundMe. There's a lot of other platforms that have seen similar numbers. That money, and I mean, I know this is going to end up being in some kind of litigation. I don't think it was even GoFundMe. It was at least in part, the police chief in Ottawa said that he had a role in forcing them to take that. And there is also a plan to block critical supplies to these guys. And as you mentioned, there's families there. Now, I don't trust polls from media sources. Trudeau's popularity is 13%, is probably much lower than that. Polls have been used to manipulate people for a long time. I don't trust them, not with these kind of numbers, not with almost an entire sector of the economy refusing to go along, not with 30 counter protesters showing up, not with all that money. I'm not going to trust it. It doesn't make any sense. And with this support, with a totally controlled media, is extraordinary. So, Trudeau sounds like just this raving lunatic, endless defamation, just this vehemence, and refusing to talk about the actual topic. The last thing he's doing is actually talking about the issues they're bringing up. And he's being condemned by the left for his use of emergency powers. This could really backfire on him. And I just realized that just today or yesterday that the premier of Quebec has said he's going to refuse to put these martial law into action. And I guarantee you other people, other elites, police chiefs, military men are going to do the same. Because it's pretty clear what the emergency law in Canada is. It has to be an extreme emergency where the entire country is in danger of a military attack, or the sovereignty is negated or something like that. It has to be extreme. And obviously that's not the case here. So you have a legitimate constitutional, the basic law, the basic Charter of Rights and Freedoms foundation for refusing to put these into action. And that's going to do far more harm to the regime than these truckers. This is going to backfire on him.
Well, I think in Quebec, they're a little bit more nationalist than in the rest of Canada. One thing that has been quite encouraging, I mean, this seems to have sparked off some other movements around the rest of the world, although they haven't been quite so big. It was planned to have a truck movement in Britain, but of course they've lifted all the restrictions now. I think there was going to be one in Holland. And you think, well, what about Australia? I mean, Australia has been treated really badly, almost as badly as Canada. And there's been all these protests, particularly up in Melbourne. They've got camps there that they are putting people into. We saw what happened with Novak Djokovic when they wouldn't allow him into the country. I mean, they've got some really serious laws there, and yet the protests really didn't get that much traction. I mean, they didn't get international news. They didn't call the army in or anything like that to do anything about it. It does seem as if this idea of using trucks for this, I mean, that really does get the attention, doesn't it? I mean, it's quite serious when you think about it, especially when they block the trade routes going into America. And if you own a truck and you go and have a protest, I mean, it's going to block the road up. It's going to cause problems. I mean, it's civil disobedience, but it is going to draw attention to your cause. And this has certainly drawn attention to the cause. And another thing that has really surprised me just about through all of this is the way that the left has latched onto this and really seem to like all these restrictions and telling people they've got to wear masks and they can't go out. And it really surprises me because, you know, I thought the left was all about personal freedom and the state not interfering. And yet they've all really gone overboard on this. It's all the most left-wing people you can think of on the television that are saying we should still be wearing masks in Britain. And they wanted to have more lockdowns over Christmas when we had this new variant, which really isn't much different to a common cold. So what are your theories, Matt, for why the left have just gone overboard on this and loved it so much? Why are they doing that?
Ultimately, you know, the left is based on fraud. From the French Revolution on, they've been violently authoritarian, devious. That's just the nature of the so-called left-hand path. In Rome, ancient Rome, the right referred to the sword hand, you know, to fight fair. The left hand referred to the dagger hand that you would then, you know, as you're shaking someone's hand, you grab the dagger and you plunge it into them. That's the derivation of the left-right distinction. The left, of course, only is concerned with so-called individual liberty when their specific issues are concerned. And that only refers to, you know, usually sexual things, you know, gender issues. But otherwise, the state as a revolutionary force is something that they've been obsessed with. There's nothing, you know, nothing here is shocking. They've always hated small business. They love the fact that the, you know, big business who benefits from all of this has been financing their movement for, you know, decades and decades and decades. And, you know, they see this as revolutionary, to completely destroy any attempt for especially white people, especially middle class people, to have any kind of solidarity, to be able to function at all, to be able to oppose them. And it's clear that it doesn't apply to them. All the violence of, you know, 2020, the Black Lives Matter, you know, they weren't wearing masks, they weren't doing any social distancing, it doesn't apply to them. And they were being cheered on by the same people. So that's only for us. They are authoritarian. This is, you know, this is the Gulag system, which, okay, maybe they're not literal prisons right now, but they're certainly going to be figurative ones when these guys, you know, lose their bank accounts. You know, I've lost my PayPal. When they lose the right to vote, they lose the right to function at all. And that also includes families. It also includes people close to them, not to mention the companies who they might work for. And I'm not quite sure where those companies stand right now. So none of this is at all surprising. And I think I already mentioned that Amnesty International issued this ridiculous report talking about how this is essentially, you know, a race transphobic movement. And so this is very, very typical. This is very normal. The American Civil Liberties Union hasn't said, as far as I know, hasn't said anything attacking these lockdowns. As far as I know, they support them. It's rare you even hear about them anymore because they're not doing it. That was at a certain point in their history. They wanted to break down the family, break down any kind of tradition that was left. So then they talked about individualism. Now that that's gone, and now that the state and the, you know, both public and private sectors work together to revolutionize society, now that's disappeared. Now they talk about groups and they talk about race, and the state's functioning is the way this is revolutionary. It's firmly in their agenda.
So it's given the state the powers that it didn't have before. I guess they're looking at things like universal basic income and thinking that could come in rather like the furlough scheme. And I guess it ties in with the fears about climate change as well, because they've been suggesting, oh, we should have lockdowns more often because it means that we emit less carbon dioxide and there's less pollution. And now that we've got these powers to get people to stay at home and not travel about, we should be using them to save the planet. So I guess that ties into it as well. But I mean, it just does surprise me that all these people that supposedly are rebellious against the state and against authority, they've just been so supportive of this. And I guess it's provided a way for them to come in with this great reset idea, which ties in with it. We've also found out recently that all of these leaders, I think Trudeau is one of them, and they're all graduates of Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum Young Leadership Program. All of them, you know, loads of these leaders throughout Europe and America and Australia, they all graduated through this special school that was set up by Klaus Schwab. And now, as if just by coincidence, they're all talking about this great reset and this idea that is in Klaus Schwab's book as well. And it's quite incredible the way that it's all just going on right in front of our eyes, and most people are unaware of it. Do you want to talk a little bit about how Klaus Schwab and this great reset fits into it, Matt?
Yeah, and we've had at least two shows on this question. And like Soros, I mean, Soros seems to be a fairly minor figure compared to Davos and compared to BlackRock and Vanguard. They all have these programs for young people that have been around a long time, no different than the National Endowment for Democracy. Training people in Ukraine and Kazakhstan and Hong Kong. Yeah, they have created the situation we're in. You have to follow the money. We all know that. The big foundations, Rockefeller and Ford, and of course the Rothschild family going back a very long time, has realized the need for this kind of brainwashing and the portrayal, you know, the capitalist portrayal of traditional life all around the world as backwards and disgusting. This has been going on for a long time. And again, this is what the left promotes. You know, everyone from, you know, Drosten and Newsom and Gates, Horgan, Trudeau, they've all come through in one form or another, come through this re-education movement. And of course, it's really no different from any university. You know, especially today, you go through the university system, you know, unless you're me and a handful of others, and I had to fight my way every day in grad school, and it made me tough as a result. You have a much easier time going through that brainwashing scheme if you go along. And so this is now what the educational system is. And I think a huge chunk of Trudeau's cabinet and the Sikh that you mentioned, there's several others, Freeland and a few others that is explicitly came from the Davos system. This has been around for a long time under different names, all with the same old money foundation, and now the corporate monopoly under BlackRock. You know, this is absolutely nothing new, and that's why you have this media elite that says the exact same thing, using the same slogans, created this false left-right dichotomy that essentially says the same thing, but you know, using different terms, and the constant defeats of any kind of nationalist force. And you have a lot of people who now, you know, they don't have much left. If the economy is going to collapse, truckers aren't going to be able to function anyway. They realize what this means. And so Trudeau's ludicrous reaction, I don't know, maybe it's not the worst thing, because he's exposing himself as an absolute lunatic and bringing the left down with him.
Well, he's always been very strange, hasn't he? I mean, he likes to dress up. He says these ridiculous things, tries to be the most wokest human being on the planet. And people say that he is the love child of Fidel Castro. And he does look rather similar to Fidel Castro. Do you know anything about this, Matt? What do you think of this conspiracy theory here? Does it hold weight?
Well, I mean, it's not like communism is genetic, you know, despite what, you know, Stalin scientists wanted to say. But I have seen pictures, one superimposed on another, and it is remarkable. And if it was true, I don't know if it's true, but it wouldn't shock me if it were. I mean, who knows how these leftist figures have functioned that way. But there is a striking resemblance, and But that would really necessarily wouldn't be relevant because it's not genetic. But it just would show exactly what these people think about families and everything else. It would make a certain amount of sense. And if it's true, I have the feeling he knows it's true.
Well, I do hear his mother was completely infatuated with Castro, and I think they did meet, or they were friends. And then you've got this bizarre resemblance between the two. We will have to see if more evidence comes out on that in the future. And, of course, we wish the truckers all the best of luck with their protest, and we hope that there aren't any false flags and that the police and the army do not get using force with them. So best of luck to the truckers, and thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Best of luck with your wedding as well. Enjoy your 2 weeks off. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.